Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Official pod is presented by WynnBET. Betting is a team sport, but together at WynnBET, we're going to get this thing started in proper fashion. We're at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. We're joined by NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah. DJ, what has the past couple of months been like for you preparing for the draft?
Not a lot of sleep, but it's fun. I love it. You know, this is, I kind of joked on the conference call the other day, you know, you spend all this time watching these guys. And, you know, nobody in my family wants to hear about these players. So I'm like, it's great. Let's talk about some of these draft prospects because it's all I've been doing for the last few months.
All right. So we're going to talk a lot about the draft. But yeah. Let's start with the Jets in the quarterback position. Yeah. They're not going to be looking for a young quarterback. They're searching for a veteran quarterback. Who do you think makes the most sense for this team?
Well, you know, I think you can make a case, you know, for several of these guys. You know, for me, because I'm such a hoarder of picks and love the draft so much, I like the option of Carr because I feel like you get the veteran quarterback. It doesn't cost you in terms of the draft picks, and then it's not costing you as quite as much as it will cost on the Rodgers front. And I think there's a little more of a runway there where you could have a few more years with him in the fold. So that's kind of my – I've seen a lot of Carr doing the Charger games over the last few years, and they have had a terrible defense since he's been there. So I think he's a good player. I like the cost, and I like the fact that you maintain your draft picks.
Potentially, what do you think about the fit in the system? New offensive coordinator here with the Jets and Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, I think he fits. You know, I Carr's – he's really a talented player, and he can move, so he can do a lot of different things in that way. So I don't think there's anything that they do in that system that he wouldn't be comfortable with. That's just, you know, in my opinion. Now, you could say, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, you know, in a short spurt here for a year or 2 years, the ceiling is higher, and you could play at a very, very high level. But, again, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Is your sense that Rodgers is going to play next year?
I don't know. Once, you know, I've never met anybody that went to a darkness retreat before, so I don't know how you come out of that thing. I thought from a marketing standpoint it would have been a great move if he was going to go to the Raiders.
Yeah.
You know, you come right out of the darkness retreat right into the black hole. I thought it would have been an easy sales pitch there from a marketing standpoint, but I have no idea.
Well said. Okay, so as far as the Jets are concerned, they got to make some decisions just like all 32 clubs have to when you start free agency. But when you're looking at this team's list of needs, where do you start after quarterback?
Well, obviously you start with quarterback, and to me, I think it's back to the offensive line. I hope that Mekhi comes back healthy and we get to see him at his best because he's an elite, elite talent when he's out there. You know, get Vera Tucker back healthy. I think his flexibility gives you some options there of whether you want to try and find another tackle, you want to try and find an interior player, and then you have a free agent center. So to me, it's been kind of the focus for a few years now. I feel like the skill is in pretty good shape. Now it's quarterback, and now it's, you know, not only, you know, getting a starter or two up front along that offensive line, just continuing with the depth. I mean, because, gosh, there's no team that's been hit with O-line injuries quite like they have the last few years.
Jets had a great rookie season from their entire 2022 class. Looking back after year one, where would you rank that class amongst everybody?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's the best one. I mean, there's other teams that got a lot of really good players. Seattle had a great draft, and they've helped turn their organization around in one draft. Did a really nice job. The Detroit had a really nice draft. But, you know, when you just look at what they did with the Jets, and, gosh, if Breece Hall stays healthy, you're talking about, in my opinion, the three best rookies in the NFL in one draft. And you know, when the draft took place and these picks were rolling in, saying it on the broadcasting, they got the best receiver in the draft, they got the best running back in the draft, they got the best corner in the draft, they got one of the best edge rushers in the draft. And so, you know, the only thing that kept Jermaine's production down was the fact they're so deep.
You're right.
They didn't get a chance to play as much. When he was out there, he made meaningful plays. So, yeah, they hit a home run, and then all the way through, I mean, Max Mitchell, when he was out there,
that's what I was just
going to
ask
well.
You about Mitchell, because you mentioned Mekhi before. The Jets thought Mitchell was going to be a project. That's what Robert Saleh said on draft weekend, but the guy comes in early on, and he's forcing a starting role, and he performed well.
Yeah, he played well. So, again, that's why I think guys like that give you, you know, with Vera Tucker's versatility, allows you to just get your best five out there. But, I, you know, it's almost like the old adage, you can't have enough corners. I think with offensive line right now, just specifically with the Jets, you can't have enough. Like, you know, just be in a position where you can navigate whatever injuries come your way during the season. And I think Joe's background, you know, with the Eagles and how they've done it, where they've got, you know, first-round picks that aren't starting along that offensive line because they have so much depth, I think that's the goal.
So how do you rate the tackles in this class? Because a lot of people, including yourself, who have the unenviable task of doing mock drafts so early on, you got the Jets going tackle. But it seems like there's a top three have separated themselves.
Yeah, you know, to me, Peter Skoronski is the best one from Northwestern. I think he can hold up and play tackle. My comparison actually is Elijah Vera Tucker. Mm. You know, so in AVT, when he kicked out to tackle, was fine, showed that he could play it. So he might end up being an all-pro guard when it's all said and done. But I think he can play tackle, and I think he's the best tackle in this draft. And then after that, you've got two really intriguing guys with big, big ceilings, high ceilings, with Broderick Jones from Georgia and then Paris Johnson from Ohio State. They each have different things they need to work on. They're not perfect players, but I think the upside with them is tremendous. And then I would say Darnell Wright is kind of – he's working his way into this conversation from Tennessee. He played really, really well at right tackle for them this year. He had played on the left previously. It was a little bit of a mixed performance there, but last year at the right side, did great. Goes to the Senior Bowl, has a really nice week there. I mean, he's huge. He's 340 pounds. You can move. I think he's working his way into that conversation.
Jets are in an interesting spot at the linebacker position because C.J. Mosley, of course, a Pro Bowl season. He was great last year. Quan Alexander, unrestricted free agent expiring contract, as is Quincy Williams. When you look at the linebacker the depth in this draft, what jumps out at you?
Well, I think there's some interesting guys in the, you know, third round range, and I think that's kind of the sweet spot. I call the Charger games for the radio, and they're a great example of this, where in the fourth round, I think they got Kaiser White, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. He played well. They let him walk. He goes, you know, leaves in free agency, got a pretty nice payday. And then they replace him with a fourth round pick and Drew Tranquil out of Notre Dame, who's played really well. He'll probably leave this year in free agency. Right. Like, I think it's one of those positions where you can find him in the middle of the draft. You get the most out of him you possibly can, and then you let somebody else pay him. You know, that's kind of been the format at that position right now.
What about the center position? You just mentioned Connor McGovern before. Yeah. He's been very durable for the Jets. He's got an expiring contract. We'll just see how free agency unfolds there. But when you look at the draft, what do you think about the position?
I think there's some good ones, but I think it's top heavy, and there's not a lot of them. So, you know, you look at Tippmann from Wisconsin's a really good player. You go to, it seems like they're all in the Midwest. You go to Minnesota and John Michael Schmitz, who did a really nice job at the Reese's Senior Bowl. He's a plug and play guy. Steve Avila from TCU's played guard. He can play center. Those are some really good center options that you could plug in. I think would be ready to play right away.
How early are those guys going to go?
I think that's, you know, that group of interior offensive linemen is going to go. I think you'll see a couple of them go late first, and then you'll see, I bet you that all those guys are gone by pick 40.
All right, so like I told you before you came on, I was listening to your conference call last night before I went to bed, catching up on the draft. You said 11 tight ends right now in the top three rounds, possibly, the way you have that graded right now. Have you ever seen a draft class
like
this?
No, it's the best tight end group I've seen. And, you know, I always want to make sure that I point that out. When you say you have, when I say I have third round grades, that means this year in the fifth round and maybe even into the sixth round,
you could get
one of those guys. They're not all going to go in the top three rounds, but they're top three round caliber players. And the way that our, you know, the grading scale I operate off of works is these are potential starters. Like, these are the chance to be your number one tight end. It's just an insane number of guys.
and how many at the end of the day you think are going in the first round?
Well, that's what I'm curious about. I think that we'll see three of them go.
Yeah.
But there's also they could be punished because of their depth, where teams are going to say, you know what, this tight end's a little bit better player than this tackle. But, man, we feel like we can get the tight end in the third round or the fourth round, and we better get the tackle now. So we'll take the tackle first and push the tight ends down the board. I think sometimes that happens when you have a deep position like that. They get punished for their own success.
What do you think about Jeremy Rucker coming out? And what are your expectations for him moving forward? Because when I heard you talk about tight end, I thought about the Jets and the production they got from the veterans in C.J. Uzomah, Tyler Conklin. They have more production from that position than they've had in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about Ruckert, who's a highly athletic dude who came out, had the foot injury. But the Jets were talking awfully high of him late in the year.
Yeah, because I think he can help you in the run game too.
Yeah.
You know, he's a complete tight end. He can block. I look at that group, and I think they have a lot of really solid players in that tight end room. And as you mentioned, the production, you know, it's been such a weak position for so long, the production was in good shape. But I don't think there's a guy when you play the Jets at the tight end position that you circle and say, oh, gosh, we got to stop this guy. Like, they don't have a big-time difference-making tight end, which in the league right now I think is the most favorable matchup to an offense is a tight end. When you get a good tight end, safeties can't match up with them because they're too big and linebackers can't move around with them. So I think it's the best matchup on the field. And if you can go find somebody you think is a difference maker, and you know it's a blue chip player, I still think that's an area I wouldn't be shocked if they went back into that well.
How early would you go into that well?
Well, it depends on how you have them graded,
yeah.
You know. But if you're trying to take this offense to another level, that's a piece that they don't have. You know, they have good players at that position. They do not have a blue chip player. So with the depth of this class, maybe that's something you do in the, you know, in the third round, fourth round.
You know Joe Douglas awfully well. What are your thoughts on the way he's built this thing? We talked about the draft class last year. The Jets had to have a home run.
Yeah.
They did get that home run. Now we're talking about landing a quarterback. How close is this team right now?
I think they're very close. I mean, you can look at when they were healthy, you know, and everybody can even say, gosh, they were only a quarterback away. I would argue and say that they were health away from making the playoffs last year. If they were just healthy, even though you weren't getting great play at the quarterback position, I think they would have still gotten to the postseason.
Right.
So those are the two things they have to figure out. They've got to figure out the quarterback and get that right. I'm confident they'll be able to do that. And then they've got to just keep these guys healthy. You know, if they can keep their A-level players healthy, this is as talented a young team as we have in the league.
DJ, a busy week for you. Thanks so much for stopping by. Last question.
Yeah.
Machado deal.
Oh, let's go.
You pumped? And also, what do you think about the pitch clock?
As a Padre fan, you always want to keep your great players. Now I'm just curious to see how many hundreds of millions of dollars they're going to give Soto, because I'm sure the way that we're going, we're not going to let him leave either. But the pitch clock, I didn't know about it.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. The game was just moving. It was great. So the only thing I'm curious about is I go to a lot of games, and I feel like I'm going to be nervous to get up and go get some food because I'm going to miss two innings. So that's the only thing.
We'll be watching this week.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com. And make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Again, thanks, buddy.
Good to see you, man.
Jets fans, we're in our final push and the clock is ticking. WynnBET is giving you a golden opportunity to win VIP prizes for the 2023 season. The WynnBET Green Room is the most exclusive space at the stadium, with all-inclusive food and beverage, lower-level seats, and appearances by Jets legends and celebrities. New Jersey customers, all you need to do is wager at least $100 on WynnBET Sportsbook or Casino. For New York customers, all you need to do is wager at least $100 on WynnBET's Sportsbook. The best part? You get an entry for every $100 you wager.
Official Jets Podcast is presented by WynnBET. Betting is a team sport, but together at WynnBET, Eric Allen here in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine, joined by Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Jeremy, before we just started taping, you said, hey, America needs the Jets to be good. They're right there, though, aren't they?
Yes, they are close.
Yes.
And it's just a good story, right? Like, it's a huge market. It's a fan base that stretches throughout the nation. Like, they're just, especially in the Northeast, me living in the Northeast for 3 years now, I see that. I live in Connecticut. I'd say they're probably more Jets fans than any other fans that I've noticed, which is surprising to me, I guess, because of the Patriots connection,
yeah,
you know, being in New England. So it's just a great story if they can break through.
Okay, so how are they going to break through? And let's start with the quarterback. The Jets have said from the get-go this offseason that they're committed to finding a veteran quarterback. What does that landscape look like as we sit here in Indianapolis?
Yeah, so for them, the process is pretty clear, right? You have Aaron Rodgers as option A. Aaron Rodgers technically is not available yet.
Right.
The expectation is that he will be, but that has to shake out with what Aaron Rodgers and the Packers work out. So the Jets, as far as I know, are waiting on Aaron Rodgers, at least to wait on the clarity of what's to come and whether he's available. And then you have Derek Carr as option B, right? And option B is bird in hand ready now. And so the Jets are sort of waiting while Carr's sort of waiting, and he has other teams involved. So if he goes and signs elsewhere in the next couple days, that does put the Jets in a bit of a precarious spot, because then they lose the Carr leverage they had with making it look like, oh, we don't need Aaron Rodgers that badly. You know, we got Carr too. Like, it's just this big game that everybody's playing right now league-wide, because you have other teams that are trying to fill the same spot, and they might need to pivot to Jimmy Garoppolo, who's sort of the third option. And then you have Lamar Jackson his way up here as like a possible option. It's going to be a wild 3 weeks.
If you're Carr's camp, if you're Derek Carr, are the Jets your number one target? People have mentioned the Carolina Panthers and obviously the New Orleans Saints and the relationship there with Dennis Allen.
I don't know that for sure. What I know is that, I know that the meeting that he had with the Jets went really well. There's a good vibe there. I certainly think there's interest. What I know is that fit is really important to him. Winning is really important to him. And, you know, I've even talked to some teams who wonder if Carr wants to go to the NFC just because it's a little bit of an easier path. Less of a quarterback pantheon, so to speak. You don't have Mahomes, Burrow, Herbert, Josh Allen, all those guys. Might be a path of least resistance to win. So that would bring Carolina into the mix because they have a talented roster, you know, if they want to go that route. You know, Saints, it's my understanding that they want to get something done with Derek Carr, like that they're ready to do that. So he has options. It's just I get the sense that, you know, he's just sort of waiting it out patiently so that that second team can get heavily involved along with the Saints, and then you have more leverage. So it kind of helps him to wait a little bit in that way.
Do you sense that the Packers do want to move on? They finally got to a point here where, hey, we got confidence in Jordan Love.
Yeah.
We've done this a couple of years with Darren, and, hey, we've had a great relationship for a long time. Maybe it's our time to part ways.
I do sense that. Now, if he comes to them and says, hey, I want to be here, I don't want to leave, then, okay, what do you do? Do you force Aaron's hand and trade him anyways? I don't know if they'd go that far. But I do get the sense that it's eerily similar to how the Brett Favre ending occurred, where it's, what, 15 years or whatever, how long it's been?
2008,
decade and a half, essentially. You have a quarterback who had a hell of a run, won a Super Bowl. They get into their late 30s. It's probably time. You know, like that. And Jordan Love is ready to play. He wants to play. Packers believe he's ready to play. So that's a big factor in all this. A year ago, I don't know if they'd be in the same spot.
You're a national correspondent for ESPN. What would you think about the hypothetical situation of if Rodgers came to New York? How big would that be?
I mean, you really can't understate it. I know even though he didn't have a great year on paper compared to his normal MVP standards, like you talk to even coaches around here, Aaron Rodgers still scares them more than just about any other quarterback. I mean, you know, where he fits in that order is still hard to say. And you have so many good young ones like Joe Burrow and all those guys we mentioned earlier, Justin Herbert, and, of course, Mahomes. But Rodgers still commands that respect. He still scares defensive coordinators. I think that's why the Jets are willing to wait. Like, it's pretty clear to them that on the field, Rodgers is the best fit. You know, now I'm fascinated to see what happened with the New York media and Rodgers. Like, he's in Green Bay, which is a little bit of a different market.
Right.
And, yeah, we all know he's a unique personality, and he likes to share things on the Pat McAfee show and all those things. It would be fascinating to see that play out in New York.
Potential suitors. You hear the Jets being talked about, and then the Las Vegas Raiders as well. do you think there'll be other teams in the mix? Because if you're Green Bay and you eventually get to that point where, hey, listen, it's time for Jordan Love, and also we're going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers, you probably have a lot of incentive to get him to the AFC.
Right, and I don't know the exact teams yet. I mean, I've heard a little bit of the Raiders. I haven't confirmed as firmly that they're in and inquiring the way the Jets have, but everybody involved knows that there will be at least multiple teams, probably several teams. Yeah, like that will be the expectation. It won't be just the Jets. It will be others, and it should be a pretty good market. Like, because despite his $60 million or almost $60 million that's guaranteed this year, the cap hit, the way it's spread out with the Packers having to handle some of the signing bonus, the new cap hit for the acquiring team is not bad. It's like $16 million this year.
Right.
It's totally manageable for a new team to take that on.
What do you think about potential compensation if a trade indeed does take place?
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Because of the age, but he can still play. I got to think a first-round pick is still involved.
You do.
I do, yeah. But not much more than that. Or maybe you can package a second and a third or do it a certain way. But I would say it's definitely not going to be in that, you know, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson realm we saw. Probably somewhere in between Russell's trade, which is two ones and players.
Right.
There and, you know, the run-of-the-mill Carson Wentz-type trade, which is a couple third-round picks. Maybe somewhere in the middle of that, I would guess.
So if Derek Carr signed with the Jets, if that was the match.
Yeah.
He makes a free agency deal with the green and white. And I've talked to a number of people here, and you probably would echo these sentiments. Carr wants to get this done sooner than later. I'm not just talking about the Jets, but before the league year starts, before free agency starts getting on underway, right? Where would that take the Jets as far as their roster is concerned right now? And you add a piece like that.
You're saying if they added Carr?
Yeah.
So, well, it solves the most important position. That's really what they need. I mean, I push back a little bit on the notion that the Jets are just, like, loaded at every position, like, ready to win a championship with a quarterback. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Offensive line needs a lot of help, and they know that. Now, the Jets and Joe Douglas now have the benefit of the doubt with how they've drafted, for the most part, that they will get that done. Like, whatever needs they need filled, they'll get good players in the draft. Because you've seen that with what they have with the Garrett Wilsons and the Sauce Gardeners. And really, you know, the class they put together last year has a chance to be one of the greats in the league of the last decade. You know, you look at New Orleans, their class 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. You know, the Colts had a great class recently. And I think the Jets, what they did last year, will match up with that kind of class. So that really builds you up as a foundation for 5 to 10 years, you know. So they're pretty well set. But I still, you know, they could use another DB, probably a safety. They could use their line help. It's not a finished product if you slide the quarterback in. But Carr provides a lot of stability because I think the notion league-wide was like, okay, if they just had capable quarterback play last year or just competent quarterback play, they would have won more games and pushed for the playoffs. So, you know, Carr can certainly do that. But he didn't have a good year, you know, and he struggled in the cold at times. So, but he's still considered a good, solid starter who can get it done.
What are some of your favorite storylines this week? Not just the off season, but as far as we're here in Indianapolis, you got the league year approaching only a couple weeks away, and then obviously the draft coming up after that.
Yeah, well, we just heard GM Joe Shane talk, the Giants GM.
Yep.
And that's interesting with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. They'd like to try to sign both of those guys by the franchise tag deadline, which is going to be hard. You got till March 7th, so I don't know if they can pull it off. That's an interesting one. Just all the cuts league-wide, you know, cap casualties, players being released. There'll be a lot of good players that will be looking for new homes here soon. So that's interesting to me as well.
Very interesting today with the news out of Buffalo. Huh? Leslie Frazier will not be back as defensive coordinator, going to take a year off and then come back in 2024.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I did not expect that. I actually corresponded with him a few days ago. About
something really?
Else, and I had no idea. I wish I would have asked him if he was coming back because I assumed he was, you know. He's, you know, he's had a good run in Buffalo, been a head coach. Like, he's accomplished a lot, so I think he just figured, hey, it's time to reset and get a year and come back and be a coordinator name next year. Yeah, that was a shock to the system a little bit.
Yeah, if you're a potential free agent, you got an expiring contract, and you look at the Jets out there, and you look what happened a couple of weeks ago at NFL Honors, Sauce Gardner, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Garrett Wilson, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Garrett Wilson said that, hey, if Breece Hall was healthy this year, he probably would have been Offensive Rookie of the Year and would have been a runaway. You look what the Jets did on the defensive side of the ball, going from last in the league to top five in basically every important category across the board. And then you look at what Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, their relationship is, and also the way Saleh connects with people inside the locker room. How attractive of a destination has this become, and potentially can it become if you do get the quarterback in place?
I think so. You're talking about like free agents in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly Robert Saleh is a guy that people like to play for. You know, coaches respond to him. You know, he creates a good culture in the locker room. And, yeah, it's – I think – well, the money's always going to talk, right, with free agents.
Sure.
I mean, that's number one. We know that. So the Jets have to not only be able to maximize the dollar for a player, but sometimes if you have a Jacksonville or a team in Florida or in Texas –
you're talking to some income tax.
You got to fight that too. But if all things are equal, yes, I do think the Jets are more digestible for free agents than maybe they were in the past. You know, you feel like you're going to a place where you can win, but there's at least hope to win.
I got a feeling we're going to see a lot of you here in the coming weeks, because Jets are going to land the quarterback. Who it is, we're about to find out. Jeremy Fowler, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.